So Candace Green, Emory and Henry class of 2020, thank you for being with us today on the Duck Pond Wall.
Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody where we're talking to you today.
Where are you? In Ackworth, Georgia.
What is Ackworth close to?
So I'm about 20 minutes or so from Atlanta.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. That gets you outside of the big town, but close enough you can go have a good time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we got acquainted with each other actually through phone calls just recently. And so I was excited about to hear what you were doing. And I want to share that with everybody because you're doing some really neat work. Let's talk about your works with, is it Briggs and Associates?
Yes, Briggs and Associates.
Yeah.
They are a contractor, if you will, through the state. What we do is we provide supported employment, customized employment, job searches, on the job training, things like that to people that have a mental health diagnosis or a developmental disability diagnosis.
So not a physical challenge, but mental health and developmental.
Yes. Issues. So, we will, so many of our clients do have a physical disability as well. However, what we're specifically trained and trying to do are those with, or help are those with mental health disabilities or developmental disabilities. I do, of course, many of my clients do have that physical disability, but if you only have the physical disability, our company is not there specifically for that.
Right. Is it a private company?
I believe all companies like this within the state of Georgia are a private company, but they are contracted through the state and federal government for their services.
Neat. Well, that's kind of cool. So what agency within the state uses Briggs and Associates to help folks? Is there an agency or different agencies? Lots of agencies.
So it's difficult to sometimes keep track of all the different agencies and the different things that I have to make sure that I'm filling out and doing properly for each client and each agency. The Georgia Vocational Rehab, GVRA, they utilize us for our clients that have a mental health diagnosis. Medicaid utilizes us. They all slip your mind.
When you're trying to think of it.
Supports coordinators, for those with developmental disabilities utilize us. Ticket to work programs through Social Security utilize us. So there's a lot of different entities involved that can sometimes become overwhelming to keep track of. So
right. Oh my gosh. And this is just a guess, but I bet there's a lot of paperwork that goes with that too.
A massive amount of paperwork. And I will tell you, to toot my own horn, I am very good at keeping up with it. So.
Well, you can toot if you want to, because nobody's putting me in charge of paperwork, because I am not good with that kind of thing. So how many clients do you have? I mean, how many folks do you serve?
Sure. So for a full-time employee, you can serve anywhere from 12 to 18, give or take, depending on the situations as they arise. Currently, I have 13 individuals. Generally, I would have more, but I do have 1.5, and I say half because I've gotten him independent, but 1.5 clients that do require full services while they're on the job. So I am with him when he clocks in to when he clocks out.
Seriously? So the service is that hands-on?
If that is the service that is needed, then yes, we will provide that. I had a client who's been with the program for about a year, and now he's been mine for about 6 months, and he has a developmental disability as well as a physical disability. And when I got with him, it was pretty much standard across the board from each career specialist. And we use the term career specialist and job coach interchangeably. Sure. But through each of those, that this was not necessarily a good fit for him and his job placement. And I would have agreed. However, You know, sometimes it's just about finding what systems work right for each person. And we were able to find a good system for him. And he is completely independent now, where I just come in, and if there's any issues, we address them and work towards them. And if there's not, then I walk right out. So.
But still, managing 13 people, come on, Candace, that's got to be crazy.
It is at times overwhelming, and at other times, you know, you become overwhelmed sometimes in the fact that it's underwhelming. Like, what am I going to do this week? I have to log my time, because we have to log pretty much everything. And so I have to log my time. What am I going to do?
But that's a happy little problem. That means you got people in the right situations and you've got them doing well. And so that's good.
Yeah. And the thing about this, though, is that, you know, you celebrate each victory and milestone, but understand that sometimes only being able to be employed for 2 weeks at a time before needing to leave the position is a celebration for this specific individual.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, that feeling can become overwhelming when you're like, I worked so hard for this, but it's now their progression and not what you've done to assist in progression. So
I would think that you have to kind of keep a check on your own sort of well-being to not get too wrapped up in it and to actually keep a little bit of separation there so that you don't feel personally responsible for that.
I have to check myself very regularly for that. Even yesterday, I have a client who's going through a period of their own internal and personal crises. And yesterday I made sure that although he's going through his, and I want to support him and I want to make sure that he's good and that he understands, I also needed to take a step back and make sure that I was overwhelmed, because when you've become so close with people, you know, sometimes their feelings can be taken on as your feelings.
Right, right.
So there you've definitely got to be mindful and the type of person that can kind of check yourself. And sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I'm like, he's going through this. We see our clientele more than their supports coordinators and everything like that. Hmm. So we take on a lot of other responsibilities that are not necessarily what our position entails.
Well, do you also have to be in constant contact with, say, a person's counselor or social worker or whatever that might be?
Depending on the different entities, yes. We do speak with some doctors and such. However, those are not as easily, people that are not as easily able to get in touch with. I do a lot of mothers.
Oh, I bet.
Sometimes that's way more overwhelming than the clients themselves. We have to check myself about my parenting. We do a lot, you know, like with the supports coordinators and you know, the different entities that are supplying, you know, our services.
Right.
We have to be, you know, in contact with them pretty frequently as well. So.
Well, you have 13 clients right now. How many clients does Briggs & Associates serve? I mean, how many folks is the company working with?
I want to say it's just under 1,000.
Wow. What was your major at Emory & Henry?
So I started off as a business major because that made most sense. I'd done HR in the past and I, you know, did it at the community college, Virginia Highlands. Came in and took a required SOCH class and fell in love with Dr. Sorensen and realized that she and I were almost the same person at heart.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I considered dropping my business major, but kept it in the end and double majored in business and sociology.
Well, that's kind of a cool combination. And I love that it was a faculty member that just kind of, you were like, you sort of ended up majoring in Sorensen. I think that's kind of cute. I love that.
Completely. I think I only took like two classes with Dr. Ko, and they were both at the end of the semester, like my senior year. So
that's funny. And you said you had been in HR before. You're not the typical 18-year-old entering freshman, are you?
No.
Or were you?
No. I went into the military when I was younger and took a few classes, you know, online DeVry while juggling work and, you know, full-time work and everything in my military obligations. Ended up getting out, had my first son. My first son passed away when he was 6 months old.
Oh, gosh. So sorry.
Thank you. And which is an important part of my story that I really, I know it's very hard for some people to hear, but I really put emphasis on that part because that bereaved parents part of my story is a massive part of it.
Sure.
I know I've been involved in situations in the past where that was taken out in order to, you know, make it a little more nice. But that, for me, that's a very important part.
Well, it informs who you are, if I may be so bold to guess that, but it informs how you feel about things and who you've become.
Yes. I got pregnant with my second son, and my husband, he did not handle his grief in a healthy manner whatsoever. We did wind up splitting up after, you know, moved to Abingdon. I skipped some stuff, but I held HR positions that I did, you know, before children that I did not have the qualifications for, but I interviewed well for a different position. And then they were like, but we have this position open and you did HR in the military, so we think you'd be great. Took that position, got pregnant. I was a corrections officer in a past life in Buford, for the state, in a mental health facility.
Candace, you still look very young, and yet you've had sort of like 50 lives. I feel like, are you secretly like 700 years old and you're just not telling me?
Well, I worked at a strip club.
Oh my Lord.
As a cocktail waitress for a while. I did work multiple jobs at a time. I was a standard waitress at a Waffle House. I worked at Quick Trip and at Publix, and I've worked at ISMG. It's a security company. It's a security company. They provide unarmed security services. That's where I worked as a security officer, and all of these were positions that I held for over a year, but I would overlap my positions because I was just working so much, you know.
Right.
I worked in regular clubs as a beer tub girl. And, you know, so I've done a little bit of,
wait, is that a job? Cause I might have to look into that.
Damn, it is. You just sell beer out of your tub and dance on top of the little beer bar sometimes.
Okay. You lost me at dancing, but otherwise I was excited about that. Yeah. Nobody wants to see this moving. Nobody. Well, so, all right. So tell me this, Sam, at what point did you say, doggone it, my next step is going to be, I'm going to get a college education and do something else.
So in all honesty, going from a big city to a small town was not only a huge change, but it was a very depressing change for me. I enjoy people. Although I hate people, I enjoy people. I enjoy lots of options, like not being like, well, there's one bowling alley. So, you know, so I enjoy that. And I was having a difficult time adjusting myself into life in Abingdon without my husband. Not that I was worried about that relationship, but more so who I was pre-marriage was everywhere. And now I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I was trying to find myself again. And the jobs that I was looking for, it was even more difficult in the smaller town to get those jobs without the degree. Mm. So I thought that if I could, sorry, that may happen.
That's okay.
I thought that if I could, you know, get an associate's, even, you know, that if I could get through one class in my first semester,
sure,
up two, and then I could pick up three, And I did that. And I think the funniest part about all of that is that I did the summer classes as well. I did everything, and I did my double major and got 3 degrees still in a 4-year time, while still working full-time by being a single mom to a child with, you know, a developmental disability, 2 developmental disabilities. You know, I did all of those things.
In 4 years.
4 years.
So you got your associates from Virginia Highlands, and you finished up a double major at Emory Henry. All that in 4 years.
BA and a BS. Yes, ma'am.
That is wackadoodle. Well, I'm impressed. I can't even.
At the Martha.
Oh, and you were working at the Martha.
Full time.
I can't even finish the crossword puzzle on the back of the Bristol paper. And so I'm a
I
little
over. I don't do any of that now.
I just am a little overwhelmed on what you're able to get done. That's amazing. Well, so you've got this major now. You've got this degree now.
I went abroad for 10 days.
Where'd you go?
I went with the business group to London and Paris.
So Tom Folks and Denise Stanley and that bunch, what a fun crowd.
It was strange, right? Because here's the 20-year-olds and then here's the adults and I can't be with either. I was so mesmerized by just the scenery in general and the experience, but it was definitely like, I don't fit anywhere right now. So
it's kind of awkward. I hadn't thought about that. Well, now, so backing up a second, you said you grew up in Georgia. What town in Georgia? Well, you were from Ackworth.
No. So I was born in Atlanta and I grew up in DeKalb County and Gwinnett County. So there was my life growing up was also very non-traditional. I did not grow up with my mother, and my father battles with mental health issues. And so there was lots of moving. I know I moved 8 different times in fourth grade. So it was kind of back and forth. So DeKalb County and Gwinnett County.
Yeah. So you did that. And then when you were in the military, did you get to be like overseas or anything, or did you get to travel?
I did not. I went to South Carolina and I did Georgia, and I did a few different things when I was in the Georgia Army National Guard. I did a few full-time jobs and things like that, but I was able to, I got some information early and I was kind of able to dodge going overseas. So,
well, there you go. Well, that if you're going to go overseas, the way to do it is with the business department at Emory Henry and not so much the military, right? What was your experience like to experience overseas travel for the first time?
It was great. You know, if I'm completely honest, because I grew up in a city, it just felt comfortable. I know, you know, when we were in London, I had to tell Dr. Stanley a few times, you cannot tell people we don't know our itinerary. Like, you cannot be friendly, ma'am. And I don't know if it was very receptive by her, but and then when we were in Paris,
well, it's funny because you said you were an open book. You want to talk about an open book now? Dr. Stanley is an open book that anybody can read on public transportation.
And then when we were in Paris, this guy tried to pickpocket me a couple of times and I ended up having to push him. So, but which was fine. Well, I know for a lot of people that would be traumatic, but it was normal to me. So it was great. It was a great experience for me. It felt very comfortable. It was just about seeing the new scenes.
All right. So you ended up with this degree in Sorensen, but you ended up with this degree. And did you immediately think that this is the kind of work you wanted to do? I mean, what were you thinking about?
I was desperate to find work post pandemic. I was doing, or during pandemic, I should say, I had quit the Martha in March or in February, and I was using my leave until March. And they were gracious enough to give me unemployment because they were kind to me, but, and they did not know this all was going to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, I went on the job hunt and also was teaching from home, him teaching from home, me, all at the same time. So I put in, I had this idea in my head, like everyone does, of this set amount of what I was going to do financially, what, you know, how I was going to do things. And I went, oh, well, that's not going to work right now. We'll come back to that. And really thought, like, you know, I want to go for my master's, but my son asked me, you know, to take a little break because he needed more time with me. And I
respect. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Begrudgingly respected that. and then, so I had all these set in place ideas. And then I was just like, apply for everything. So I did. I went on a lot of interviews, and I like to think that I interview extremely well, and was shocked when I wasn't getting these positions, especially because many of them were under what my minimum was.
Huh.
You know, it was really overwhelming, but I utilized the time to spend time with my son. We did a lot of outdoor traveling. You know, we went to the and, you know, would go in the evening when no one was there and stuff like that. And, you know, we would go hiking a lot. And so we had a lot of really fun things that we did, but I was still putting in dozens and dozens and dozens of applications daily.
Wow.
Like pushing them out like crazy. I didn't have a clear direction of where I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be in Georgia, but it was hard to see past the support that I had and added it.
Right.
So I kind of checked everywhere. I was looking in Northern Virginia, Abingdon area. I was looking in Colorado because I have my best friend who lives out there, you know, in Georgia and everything, and some in Florida because I have another best friend that lives in Florida. So yeah. I was looking in multiple different places, going to multiple interviews all the time and not really getting them. And I was like, because that's not happened to me. I always
Do you think that's just because it was such a weird time and people were,
I think
people weren't sure how to hire. I mean, it was a weird year. And so,
end of September, I got a call to interview for Briggs and Associates, which when I put in for it on Indeed, I thought for sure, this is a scam.
because it sounded like an unusual job.
Yeah, it was it's so unusual. And I was like, it's a scam. And when I went for the interview, I was interviewing at a Panera Bread because, and it's a working interview. So you're driving. And in years past, you would ride in the car with the other person, but you're driving to follow this person to the different clients. It's a working interview. You see, they see how you interact with clients, how comfortable you are. You see what the job kind of looks like.
Neat.
Yeah. And so,
Panera, that cracks me up. It, you know, and I love that you thought it was a scam. It reminds me of those ads that say you can work in your pajamas and still earn money.
Right.
I mean, I fall for that every time.
Right. Same. So I came down and it was between this and another one that was down here that I finally settled on. This one ended up winning out because it was slightly more money and my hours could be a little bit more flexible.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea that I'm getting paid just to drive from point A to point B. Like even just those 15 or 30 minute windows are so nice.
Counts. Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, and plus you're doing really hard work. And so I would think that it'd be really helpful to have a little bit of a break. To kind of pull yourself together between things.
Yes. So And the reason why this went out is because my son has a developmental disability. And I thought, how great to have an insight into what could potentially be his future and how to navigate through all of the many different entities that,
right,
you know, are going to be associated with his life.
How long do you see yourself doing this? Do you want to stay doing this for a while? And feels like a very exhausting sort of job.
It's extremely exhausting. There are some days where there are most days that I come home and it's like, here is a salad and here are some chicken nuggets. Have a ball. I'm going to lay down.
God bless you for throwing in the salad.
Yeah. I mean, hey, so anyways, I do enjoy this line of work. I am the type of person who, really excels in positions where I can get better and better and better. Oh, I can move up in this position. Oh, I can move up in pay, or oh, I can show that I've done this. Mm-hmm. And thus far, I've been able to hit a lot of milestones, like getting my guy completely independent.
Right.
I've been able to hit a lot of milestones that feel really good. As long as I continue to have the opportunity to grow in my finances, but also within my position and with my people, then I would anticipate that this line of work would be something that I would stay in.
Well, tell us, as we wrap up, we're getting ready to, we're running out of time. So I want to make sure that we have a good ending, because there's just a million more questions I could ask you. But as we wrap up, tell us what it was like as a single mom to finish out, well, all the education, all your education, not just at Emory and Henry, because you went to Highlands too, but what was it like to do that as a single mom?
It was overwhelming, stressful, aggravating, frustrating. Felt like I was not being able to put in my efforts fully into any of my things. Now, I did graduate, I think, with the 3.7, if I'm not mistaken.
Jeepers creepers.
But I was mad that it wasn't a 4.0. I was able to go to work, but I was mad that I wasn't bubbly to the customers all the time. And right. Moms were always guilted that we're doing the wrong things always. So
moms have a hard road. You're right.
And I felt like that, I wasn't spending enough time with him and, all of those things. So it there were lots of negative feelings throughout the entire process, in full honesty.
But you did it.
But I did it.
But you did it. And you were here. You got to come back and do the graduation do-over, as I'm calling it. So what was that like to get to be back on campus a few weeks ago and with your classmates and wear the robe and do the whole thing? And what was it like?
It was strange, right? Because we were all wearing masks and we were all sitting really far away from each other. And we were all like, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Or how many vaccinations? How do you feel about masks? What do you feel? And of course, I don't even know if half of the people even came back.
It was a small crowd.
Yeah. So, and people that I was like, I wonder if they're going to come, and they didn't. It was strange, but I had to hold back. I'm not a big crier, but I had to hold back tears a few times because it was just so, it just felt so good, and if we're going to, backtrack a little bit about, being a single mom and doing it, the only reason that I was able to do it is because I had a support system. And I know that's so cliche, but this support system was not my family. My family is not that support system for me. And, I think it many times you're feeling like I'm taking advantage because they're not my family. And then other times you're like so appreciative to have that you're like welling up with tears, even if you want to strangle them 9 times out of 10,
But because, you don't want to look that gift horse in the mouth, because you got to make it, you got to have it to make it work.
You got to swallow it and just deal with it. So, it couldn't have been done without a support system. And that's hard for someone who's been doing it alone for their whole lives and
have you've had to be super independent, haven't you?
Yeah. So it's difficult. And I if there's other single parents or, people without family, that are going to go through this process, make sure that you actively seek out a support system.
Right.
And that you, are flexible enough to deal with other people's thoughts and their feelings and their processes openly and accept them for who they are and not feel guilted that that you're accepting the assistance.
All right, well, Candace, we're gonna let you go, but thank you so much. Candace Green, class of 2020, or as we're calling it, those poor kids in 2020. But anyway, we're so proud of you for what you're doing, and can't wait to see what you do next, because you're gonna, you're just starting. I mean, you had a whole life and now you got a whole new life that's going on. Yeah. We're just starting again. It's gonna be great.
You can go in.
Candace, thanks for being with us. And we appreciate everybody being with us on the Duck Pond Wall today.